Morning, everyone. Greet you in Christ's name. I like that. One of the songs we sang this morning. I'll just read a couple verses of it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath is covenant and blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clad in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. That last verse is kind of introduced my title this morning. I want to speak about Jesus' second coming. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer first. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you that we've been blessed already this morning by looking into your word, reading about the stories of Moses and the children of Israel, and just thank you that you are the same God today. We can trust you and follow you. Just inspire us and speak to us as we look into the word, especially as we think about your second coming. Just guide and speak to us today in Jesus' name. Is this too loud? Jesus' second coming. When we think of important days, maybe we think of holidays or anniversaries or birthdays or trips we have planned. Maybe it's doctor's appointments, or like we were talking about this morning, things in our lives where we, maybe it's in our spiritual lives where we kind of come to a milestone. And those are days we remember and we think about, and they're important to us. Maybe some of us are well organized and we have a little book that has a whole year of pages in it and page for every day of the year. And we have that all planned out. You know, I know my father-in-law has a book like that where he has write stuff down ahead of time. And it keeps him organized, I guess. We can write important days down, something we want to remember. The day we want to study about today is, it's a day that is coming that is more sure than this day today, but it's also a day that we can't have in our planners. We can't have it written down, you know, 2 years ahead or tomorrow or whatever. We can't have it written down because we don't know when it's going to happen. But it's very important. It's going to be the most important day to happen yet. Well, we don't know when it's going to happen, but it's coming as sure as this very day. Like I said already, it will come. This is a subject that we talk and study about, but we can't speak from experience like some other things we could talk about, like our new birth or current events or things. We haven't experienced anything like this before, the second coming of Christ. We can't speak from experience. We can speak from the Word of God, but it's not from experience. But the Bible does liken it to Noah's day and the worldwide flood, and we know how that turned out. We can read that story. We can read how Noah preached about it and built the ark, and then it actually happened. And the destruction of what happened there. You can read about that. Second coming of Christ will be similar in some ways. And I want to say right away, I'm not so concerned about the different beliefs of how this is actually going to play out. I'm not going to try to untangle that at all. I know there's some here that we believe a little different on some of this stuff, but I think we all can agree that there is coming a day when Jesus will come back and good and evil will be judged. Whether that's all in one day or however that all turns out, I'm not going to try to decipher that all. But it's coming and we know it's sure. Jesus is coming back. He's not done here. Yes, he came as a baby in a manger. He lived here on earth. He died for us. When we can read those stories, we believe those happenings. We believe it with all our hearts. But he's coming back. Let's read Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. This is Apostle John writing what he had seen and heard. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So there it is. John is writing what he heard, what he saw. And Jesus is promising to come back with a reward for every man. And I may not touch on it much later, but along with the second coming of Christ, people are going to be how they are right now. How they're living, that's how they will be. Like, I don't understand that it's going to be time of repenting. It's going to be a time when Christ comes back, gathers his own. The righteous will go with him, and the unjust will be judged. So I might not touch on that a whole bunch, but I just want us to think about that right away. It's a time of judgment. It's a time of joy for the Christians, actually. It's a wonderful time, but it's also a time of decisive things happening. Let's look at the last days a little bit. Let's look at 2 Peter 3. I like how clear this chapter is. I just want to read part of it right now and then some later. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostle of the Lord Jesus and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. I just want to look at what the last days will be like a little bit first. we see here some of the stuff that's going to be happening. There's going to be people saying, you know what, he's not coming back. He hasn't yet. We've been hearing about this for years and years and years, and it hasn't happened, so it's not going to happen. There'll be people saying that, and if we don't watch out, it's easy to think that or live like that, I guess. But it's going to happen. It says in verse 8, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. You know, we think in time, we think in days and months and years and lifetimes and all that. But God, it says one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. So we can't think like God thinks. We're so time conscious and bound by time that it's hard to think like God does. But the fact of the matter is, this day is coming. And let's not forget that. I'm going to read 2 Timothy in the New Living Translation. You can turn there if you want. 2 Timothy 3. Maybe I'll read it here first. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. Sorry, Timothy 3. And this is more about how the last days will be or are. I don't think any one of us would argue that we're not in the last days. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So there it is, some more description of how it's going to be, how it is. I mean, we don't have to look very far, and we realize that we're in the last days. I'm just going to read it in another version. It's a little bit clearer, but 2 Timothy again. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind that work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. But they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jannes and Jambres. I just liked how it seemed a little clear. But let's not be part of this list. We can live different than that. But that's how the end times will be. They'll be marked by a lot of that. And I think we can see that in the world today. A few more things about the last times. Matthew 24. Verse 3. This is Jesus speaking. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we see that today also is wars and rumors of wars. That seems to be the thing just lately too. We hear a lot of rumblings of different things happening, different countries getting together. This is all part of the end times, but we don't know. Again, we do not know which day it will be. It could be tomorrow, it could be 10 years down the road. We don't know that. But it's good to keep our heads. It says, take heed. Stay awake. And also verse 12 there, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many wax cold. I think that is can be a danger for us Christians. We see things happening all around us that aren't right, and it can wear us down. It can make us think that it's always going to be this way, that Christ will never come back, but he is coming back. Let's look at the promise of the day of the Lord in Acts 1, when Jesus ascended and the disciples were watching. Acts 1, verse 7. You know, I kind of, if I don't think about it much, I can think this is all going to be mysterious and unreal and all that, and it's going to happen so fast or something. But I think this second coming is going to be what says here, just like the disciples seen Jesus go, he's coming back. And it's going to be real to us. It's not going to be mysterious. It's going to be real. Let's read Acts 1 verse 7. Says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. How simple can it be? It is going to be real. It is going to be on a certain day when God knows all about it. He's going to come back through the clouds, with the clouds, it says in some places. It's going to be a real day. Well, maybe in the middle of the day, end of the day, doesn't matter. But it's going to be a certain day, a certain hour, Christ is going to come back. Just like there, the disciples were talking to him, and all of a sudden, he's gone. I believe that's how it's going to be all of a sudden. We're going to be working, we're going to be doing our thing, and Jesus is going to come back. Mark 13. Mark 13, verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall ye see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. So there it is again. Things that are going to happen. Stars are going to fall from heaven. The powers of earth are going to be shaken. And then we'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And when that says great power and glory, we're talking of God's power and glory. It's not what man can do. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great power and glory, God's glory, Jesus' glory. Let's look at 2 Peter again. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Thinking of the promise of the day of the Lord. It's promised. It's going to happen. We read this verse already, but I'm going to read it again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone to be left behind, but that all should come to repentance. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We can't even imagine that. What's going to happen to the earth? But we can imagine, we can believe the promise that Christ is coming back. We do believe that. We look forward to it. But let's look for it. Let's be prepared for it. Let's not forget it. Like in Sunday school, we're talking about how easy it is to forget, and it is very easy to forget. We go about our lives, and it's just life. We got things to do and places to go, and you know what? This day is not on our planner. It's we can't have it pinned down. Like it's so handy with our phones nowadays. You can put something ahead in your calendar, right, and it reminds you. This is happening, you know. It's coming up. And you can remind yourself a couple days ahead or a week ahead or on the day. This is a day we can't do that, but it's just as sure as any other day. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I'm going to read a few verses here. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. There it is again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. It's a promise. With a shout. It's not going to be done in a corner. We're not going to have to go looking for this. It's going to happen where everyone can see it. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then The rest of us, whoever alive when it happens, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to be amazing. Hard to imagine, but we can believe it by faith. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, the worse the world gets, the harder our life may be or not be. It's a comfort to think about. It is going to end. Jesus is going to come back, set everything straight. And we won't have to rely on any political movement or anything to straighten things out. Jesus will straighten it out. It will all be over. And we will go home to be with Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amazing thought to think about. So let's look at the unknown day. We read already in Mark 13:32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. So the only one that knows about this certain day is God. It says even the Son doesn't know that. I'm not sure how that works, but the angels don't know which day it is. God knows. But there will be a day and there will be an hour when it happens. Even though God isn't limited by time, He has a day set when He's coming back, when Jesus is coming back. And even though we don't know which day it is, it will be a very visible happening when it happens. Every eye will see Him, it says in Revelations, I believe, Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of earth, the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and every eye will see Him. It will be very apparent. There will be no one sleeping. There will be no one gone on a trip. They may be on a trip, but they will see Him. And I don't believe we'll have to go looking on social media to find out where Jesus is. No, it'll be very apparent. It says every eye will see Him, whether we're a believer or not a believer. What will Jesus look like when He comes back? It doesn't have a lot of description. Some of it I read already. He's going to come with clouds and power and glory. I looked some different references and I didn't really come up with much more. I'm going to read a few of other descriptions of Christ that maybe we won't necessarily see on that certain day. But did we read? We read some in Matthew 29 or 24 already. I'll just see if we read those already. Matthew 24, verse 29. Yeah, I believe we read those already. It says, and then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory. There it is again, power and great glory. And let's not underestimate what that's going to be like. Second Thessalonians 1. Verse verse 7. And I want to notice in these verses, think about the, I don't know if I'm pulling something out of here that shouldn't be here, but just the thought that came to me, is it possible that Jesus will appear different to us Christians than to the unbelievers? Just have that thought in your mind when you read down through here. I stand to be corrected, but it's just something I thought about. For 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Do you see anything different there? To the unbeliever, it's going to be terrible. Flaming fire and vengeance on them that don't obey. But to us believers, he's going to become to be glorified in us and to be admired in all them that believe. I'm not sure exactly how that can be in the same person, but I think us as saints, it'll be a wonderful happening, and for an unbeliever, it will be terrible. Verse 8 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And verse 10, and when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired. Let's admire Christ today, and we will admire him then. Let's live for him. A few other word pictures that describe Jesus. I'm just going to look at them quickly, and I don't know necessarily if this is what we will see on that day. It's not talking about that the day of the Lord when we read this, but I want to read it anyhow, Revelation 19, just to inspire our imagination about what Christ looks like, Revelation 19. Verse 11 says, and I saw heaven open, this is John speaking again, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, which that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he shall tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God. Just an amazing picture of Christ and his power. And I think we will see some of that power when he comes back for us. Let's look at the purpose of Jesus' second coming. Matthew 24 again, 31 says, he comes to gather his elect. It says, and he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So that's why he's coming back. He's coming back for Christians, for us. Elect means chosen or favorite. A little more on that meaning, chosen by God to obtain salvation. Christians are called chosen or elect. So that's why he's coming back. He left the apostles back way back then. He went up into the clouds. But he's coming back. He's watching us this morning. He's watching our lives. He's helping us, giving us grace. But he's coming back for us. In the New Living Translation, It says, "And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world." It's a precious thought. God's chosen ones. Every one of us is chosen as we choose Christ. God wants everyone to believe him. 1 Peter 1, verse 2 in the New Living again. "God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ." Those of us as Christians can claim that. God knows us. He chose us long ago. Romans 8, verse 32, I want to look at that, thinking of this thought of being part of that elect that the angels are going to gather. Romans 8, 32. It says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us." This is this Jesus that's coming back. God's saying about his own son. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So God is coming back. Jesus is coming back with his mighty angels for the elect, for us as Christians. Let's stay true. Matthew 13. Thinking more of why he's coming back. Matthew 13, verse 37. Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower. But it's not just explaining, he's actually telling us how the end of the world will be. Matthew 13, 37, "He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So not only is Christ coming back for Christians, he's coming back to judge evil. And like it says here, the angels will gather those things that offend and cast them into the furnace of fire. So on one hand, you see angels gathering the elect, and in these verses, you see angels also gathering the tares and burning them. So it's going to be a very important time, I'm not sure what the word is, the end of time. I mean, there's no other important day that we're looking for other than that, and it's going to be catastrophic on one hand and amazing on the other hand. Let's look at a few verses in closing. Jesus' call to us as Christians. Luke 21. I know I'm looking at some of these verses probably a couple times, but that's all right. I want different thoughts out of them. Luke 21. Verse 34 says, this is Jesus' call to us as Christians, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness." That's something we don't do. drinking and surfeiting, that's out. And cares of this life, that could come very close to home. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Quite a call, actually. He says, take heed, watch. And it's possible to stand before the Son of Man ready to go. Let's be ready. Mark 13. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who had left his house and gave authority. I like this verse here. Gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. God's given every one of us something to do in his kingdom. Let's be busy doing that. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crow, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. It's going to happen. We don't know when, but it's very sure it's going to happen. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ, once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let's be looking for Christ. He's coming back. It's very sure. We don't know when, but it's God has it all planned. Our job is to just be ready and watching, and also to be telling others about it. Thank you for your attention.